Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. So send us a note if you have an idea or just want to say hi. Our email address is indianaweekend@gmail.com.
A new study shows a surge in the number of children across the country with autism. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported a 30% increase from another estimate just 2 years ago. There are differing opinions on what the numbers mean and how children on the autism spectrum should be helped. At Ball State, the PRISM Project has given new hope to some families by providing children the chance to shine as performers and develop new skills. Here's what they've sounded like in performance.
My name is Joel, I'm really cool. John's vegan, really new game, he must be a fool. I'm not slowing down, I'm on a roll. Changing the world is my ultimate goal.
The project started in 2009 with Ryan Horrigan and Michael Dane, and we talked with Professor Dane in his office the other day.
The PRISM Project is a partnership between 25 students from our area who have some sort of special needs. Most of them are somewhere on the autism spectrum, and they buddy up with a bunch of Ball State students and a few professors and work for 10 weeks on acting, singing, and music so that they can put on an amazing performance early in April that is performed to a full house audience in Pruis Hall.
So in general terms, these are children with autism working in a production, a play.
They're collaborating. Frequently, I know autistic students are seen as being very isolated from each other, and by the time they're done with this process, they become so close to each other and so adept at working together that it feels like a tightly knit ensemble. It doesn't feel like a whole collection of individuals.
What's it like working with these folks, and how would you compare it to your day-to-day?
I direct plays in the theater department at Ball State. I also am in charge of the theater education program here, and I'm on the directing faculty. How it compares, I have lots of, every day there's something that happens that makes me smile, but when I'm at PRISM, I smile from the moment that I walk into the room until the moment that I walk out, unless I'm in some way tearing up just a little bit because they've done something so heartwarming that I can't possibly keep it in. It's an emotional roller coaster to the extent that when the kids first get involved, you're not sure exactly where their limits are and what they can do and they can't do. And with each passing week, we see more and more of them really coming out of their shells and really connecting with all of the other people that are in the rooms with them, people that had probably never really considered themselves singers or dancers or actors before are up on stage, and they have these beautiful, mellifluous voices that are just filling the auditorium. They are making, you know, dance moves that would make fans of the Bee Gees envious. You know, they're doing things as actors where they're telling stories that I don't think that anybody really believed that they could connect all of these dots in a way that would be so clear to an audience. And it's incredibly exciting to be part of this entire energy and process.
Is there something about the experience of doing theater that helps people or helps connect with folks?
Well, I think theater, yes. I think it's all of the arts, that all of the arts are very therapeutic in as much as people express themselves in creative ways without there being some fear of there being immediate judgment, or it's perfectly legit for 10 people who draw 10 different paintings to all get some sort of positive feedback on those 10 paintings. It doesn't have to be a win-win game. As much as I was an athlete, I love athletics, but on the athletic field, there's a winner and there's a loser. In the PRISM Project, there's only winners.
In the 6 years in which you've been doing this, can you think of a time when you said to yourself, this is why I'm here, this is why I'm doing this?
Sure. There's been so many anecdotal stories of people who have done amazing things. There was a young man the first year that we did this who was blind, in addition to being on the spectrum. And the first week of PRISM, he came in, he found a piano to sit by, he sat on the bench, he put his head on the piano, and he wouldn't speak to anybody for the entire hour. 10 weeks later, when we actually did the first PRISM Project show, he sang a solo, It's Not Easy Being Green. There was a little girl who the first couple of weeks several years ago wouldn't speak to anybody herself, but she always carried a little stuffed dog. And so I went up and I didn't talk to her. I started talking to the stuffed dog. And she started talking back to me through the stuffed dog. And again, by the time we actually did the show several weeks later, 6-7 weeks later, she had one of the lead roles in one of the acting pieces. Someone who wouldn't speak at all the first few weeks that she was there. And when she was about to carry the little dog on stage with her, she turned to me and she said, "Will you hold him and take care of him while I'm on the stage?" So she didn't even need, you know, this, what might be a crutch. I mean, in my mind, I'm just going to think of it as a good friend, a good stuffed animal friend. To see the growth that these kids go through is just absolutely phenomenal. And if you've seen, many of them have been back now for all 6 years. We've brought in new kids every year. We've lost a couple every year. But a lot of them have come back for all 6 years. And to see how they've grown up and to see how productive all of them can be at this point, at least partially because of the interactions they've had with us and the kids in the Prison Project, it's just absolutely, it's amazing.
How does that happen? Because you're describing folks who come in and the rest of us would encounter them and say, well, I can't make any headway. I can't communicate with that person.
Some of it, first of all, has to be entering the situation by saying, I'm going to find some way to communicate with these people. And it might not be as easy as it is just walking down the street and running into somebody and say, hey, how the heck are you? It may take weeks. It may take, but the students that we have working with this population, they're relentless. They have such big hearts. There's so much positive energy that's constantly being shared, and enough of it that the kids get to the point where we finally can start giving them a little more direction about some of the things that don't work as well as some of the things they're doing that does work, because they know that it's a safe zone. It's a very non-judgmental atmosphere. A lot of these kids, when they're in school, they're bullied. They're looked upon as people that have no possibility for achieving. And now they're in an atmosphere when they're over in the prison room where every single Ball State student, all of the faculty directors, we not only believe they can achieve, we know they can achieve, and we're not going to rest until they have every opportunity to succeed that they can get. You know, we want them to feel great about a world of opportunities that they have, and I think this opens that up to a lot of them.
That's Ball State Theater Professor Michael Dane talking about the PRISM Project. Their website is prismproject.iweb.bsu.edu, or you can drop me a note or go to our Indiana Weekend site on Facebook.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
April is National Autism Awareness Month. We mentioned to you a new study out last week from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that indicates a sharp increase in the number of reported cases of autism. Nobody is sure why that is, but families are glad for any signs of progress in the treatment of the condition. And so, in Muncie, a program in its sixth year is winning a lot of praise for helping kids. The PRISM Project provides children with special needs a chance to learn social skills through performing arts. They put on a show each year, and this year's was Wednesday.
My name is Michael Dane. I'm a professor in the Department of Theater at Ball State University, and I'm one of the co-directors, along with Ryan Harrigan, of the PRISM Project at Ball State, which has been a labor of love for me for the last 6 years. I have an opportunity every Saturday afternoon in the spring to spend some high-quality time with students that have some special challenges and work with them through 10 weeks of rehearsals until they do a performance early in April that is usually an absolute delight.
Are there areas of performance or theater or these other arts that folks who are on this spectrum are better at?
I think it's pretty much like, you know, all of the students that are more traditional, that if you go into any school situation, you know, if I'm dealing with my college students here, all of them do certain things better than others. And that's pretty much the same. So, yes, we see a lot of growth, but for one kid, it might be growth in amazing movement things that they're doing in dance. For another kid, it might be that they realize they have a much stronger, much more powerful, much more beautiful voice than they ever would have thought before they started. And so we're trying to find out early in our 10 weeks which kids have chops for which things And then after that, I write the script. So the kids make suggestions. Sometimes the story is almost exclusively theirs, except somebody has to put it in words down on a piece of paper. But as we're writing the scripts, I mean, one of the things that we're considering is, oh, you know, Cassidy proved that she's a great singer. We're going to put her in a solo over here. I mean, a little Joey's just an amazing actor, always wanted to be a ninja. Is there anywhere that I can put a ninja somewhere in this play? I mean, those sorts of things. So that we're also adapting it to what the strengths that we're seeing as they're moving through this process.
How do the young folks that you're working with, how do they change?
They usually come in feeling like they're not connected to anybody else that's in the room. They buddy up with their Ball State buddies, first of all, because the Ball State buddies tend to be very fully present all the time near them. But what we find as the weeks go on is that students that were quiet become vocal. Students that were timid become brave. Students that were very cautious about sharing the unique voice that they have or the unique talent that they have are now willing to sing or dance or act it for the world, or at least the world of Muncie. It's an amazing growth arc that we've noticed from the beginning to the end of those 10 weeks.
What accounts for that? How does that happen?
Well, I don't know this for sure because I'm not in their lives. I do know that they feel valued. They feel valued without feeling like someone is constantly judging them. They feel that they can contribute something and it will at least be listened to and considered, even if it's something that we don't, you know, end up eventually using in the show. They feel like we all consider them to be extremely important people that have as much to say about what's going on as anybody else in the room, and I don't know that they always get that from the rest of their experiences in life. They know that it's always going to be a safe zone, that no one is ever going to pick on them when they're in this space. At the same time, the fact that there is structure, I mean, there are rules, there's things that they have to do, I think at least puts them in, and that might even increase to their feelings of being in a safe zone, lets them know that they can approach other students, they can talk with some of the other people. We've actually even had a few boyfriend-girlfriend relationships that have formed with some of the oldest kids that are in this program. They're always the really tame ones where they have to decide whether they're going to hold a hand or they're not going to hold a hand, which, you know, it's adorable whenever it happens.
Is there something about the arts, by the way, that the process changes people, they become more self-aware or open up?
Well, I think all those things. And certainly all of the arts have a transformative quality. You get a chance to express yourself in ways that it doesn't matter whether or not somebody else feels this is important or significant, or it's you. It's you on a paper. It's you, you know, with your choreographed steps or whatever. I think it also has people, it develops a strong sense of empathy, which sometimes is a skill set or a quality that the students haven't had a lot of experience with. And what I mean by that is that I don't know what it's like to be a dancer unless I've danced. I don't know what it's like to be a singer unless I've sang, or actor unless I've acted. I can look at it from a distance, but until I've really done it, until I've really felt it, I don't know what's going through that person's mind when they're coming up with a piece of choreography or whatever. So I think by them doing things that are out of their comfort zone, at the same time that they've now realized they can do these things, they also develop this sense of, if, in fact, they're now doing things different than they did before and things that other people did, well, maybe there's other things in life that are like that as well. Maybe when somebody else says that, you know, they love playing volleyball, they maybe have never played volleyball, but at least there's some empathy. Well, they must love volleyball as much as I loved doing the dance I just did in Prism. There feels like there's some connections that are made in the outside world as well. And I think that's directly related to the fact that it's an artistic experience. There isn't a sense of everybody has to do something exactly the same way. You know, I was a basketball player for years. If we were doing a passing drill called the weave, we all had to do it exactly the same way, or somebody got hit in the head with a basketball. That's not necessarily the case here. It's like somebody can want to be a watercolor person, and somebody can want to paint with oil paints, and somebody can want to paint with found substances. That's scary sounding. I mean, and it's perfectly legit that they all have their own personality, and they're able to express it in some way that will be appreciated without being torn down.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from the parents?
They love it. We used to joke the first year that even if this thing turned out to be a complete and total disaster, the parents, who almost never get any time off at all, would get at least a couple of hours off every Saturday afternoon, and that's not a little service by itself. I mean, that's a great thing, but their kids are different people. I mean, the parents, they're on duty 24 hours a day, so I think sometimes that they maybe don't get an opportunity to expose their kids to any of the types of activities that are done in the actual PRISM project, because they're just trying to make sure that they have lunch and they get them to school and they, you know, they get them to wherever else they need to be. And it takes a little longer to get them ready, and it takes a little, these aren't kids that normally walk in a straight line. So mom and dad don't get a chance to have a whole bunch of students together that are all focused on their kids developing the confidence and the social skills and the self-esteem and whatever that, you know, they want their kids to have.
Professor Michael Dane, who teaches in the Ball State Theater Department. He started the PRISM Project in 2009 with Ryan Horrigan. Coming up, sharing stories of hope and progress.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.
The PRISM Project held its sixth production on Wednesday. This is the extraordinary program giving children with special needs a chance to learn social skills through performing arts. We're talking with Professor Michael Dane of Ball State's Theater Department, who put this together with Ryan Horrigan.
What's an example of the plot in the show?
Always a little bit more like a variety show, where you'll see, like this year, the theme was cool. So you're going to see one piece that is people singing songs from the 50s and 60s. I know there's going to be a kid that's Johnny Cash. There's somebody that's Aretha Franklin. There's somebody else that's the Beatles. Then there's another section where there's a number of dance songs from the 80s and 90s that people thought were cool. So you've got a lot of the disco age in there. In the theater area, one of the kids, his name is Carter, he actually came up with an idea last year. We just said, what do you guys, you know, want to do that's an original play? We've been doing a lot of other things that you've been acting out, but what might you want to create? And he just blurted out, pirates. Want to do something about pirates. So he ended up creating this sort of loose story that we tightened up a little bit in terms of Carter and the good pirates that were looking for a treasure. And last year, right at that place where they found the treasure and they were about to open up the chest, we decided to stop the story. So that would maybe, you know, it would be continued on into another year. So this year, Carter's come up with the final chapter of his pirate story and decided that Captain Hook's going to be involved in Tinkerbell and Wendy. And I went out and bought about 20 foam swords. I'm also a fight choreographer, so I taught them how to fight with the foam sword so that there is one real Donnybrook that takes place on stage between all of the little pirates, the good pirates and the bad pirates. And eventually at the end, Peter Pan and Wendy and Tinkerbell, they convince the pirates to create a imaginary TikTok croc to scare Captain Hook and the bad pirates away, and it's very effective, and they divide up the treasure, and now this story, I think, is done. But I mean, very clever, very imaginative. And the TikTok croc idea was like, we couldn't come up with a resolution. And I just said, well, how do we solve this? And one of them said, we need a TikTok croc. Can you explain to me what a TikTok croc is? Well, yeah, it's like the crocodile in the movie, except right. We don't really have a crocodile here, so we're going to have to be the crocodile. Okay, we can do that.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You're doing a good thing, but
it also is fun. Now, the side story is I went to see a play they did at Northside Middle School the other day, The Adventures of Robin Hood, or The Almost True Story of Robin Hood, or something like that. And who do I see sitting in the audience watching this show but Carter? And I said, what are you doing at a play? And he said, well, you know I like plays. I created one. And I said, so you go to school at Northside? He said, yeah, I do. And you know what? I think I'm going to audition for their play next year. So we had another kid, one of Ryan's sons, Josh, who did the same thing. You know, after doing PRISM for a number of years, he said, I'm going to go audition for one of those Muncie Civic shows. And he was in Bugsy Malone last summer as a gangster. So, you know, I just love it when they get the... Not only when they have the successes with us, which is wonderful, but that we see that it's doing something positive in terms of building up their confidence to embrace the rest of the world as well.
Does helping uncover their gifts, does that translate at all into the work that you do with your students here? Have you found yourself becoming more patient or somehow able to?
I hope that I've always been kind of patient, but what I would say is that the biggest impact I see is with the 25 kids who actually are buddies with them all the time, because when they end up in a secondary classroom at some point, and it's music ed and theater ed students that fill those roles for the most part, if somebody says, you know, we're putting a student in your classroom that has these qualities that make them a little different than some of the other students, rather than putting up some sort of, you know, stop sign and going, oh my God, we can't handle that. Instead, it's like, great, it's another opportunity for the rest of the kids in the class to get to experience someone who's maybe got some challenges and opportunities and experiences that they don't have.
before all this happened? Would you have thought that? No,
never.
No.
No, it really did take Ryan coming in. I didn't know this world. There was nothing in my experience that had ever really exposed me, other than occasionally maybe seeing, you know, someone, a younger kid on a playground or wherever that you went. I think perhaps that's a Down syndrome child, but I didn't know anything about them because it wasn't in my life at all. And I realized what I missed. You know, I was a teacher for years, I was a principal for years, and I didn't really have to deal much with the special ed population. Now I don't think of them as anything other than my kids. You don't think of the differences, you think of the things that make you smile, that make you cry, that make you feel more human. And everybody who's involved in this project, they really gives them a major boost to their humanity, to how they feel about their place in the world.
Have you seen that with some of the students that are helping
out? All of the students. I mean, I have, this is probably my classic story. Recruited a theater ed student a number of years ago from Brooklyn. And she came in and, you know, was just this really, really tough cookie. She's sweet on the inside, but I mean, just someone who, when she, you know, yo, what are you doing over there? let me talk to you about what you're doing over there. And for whatever reason, she decided that she wanted to get involved in the PRISM project. And about halfway through the first year, I could tell that something was a little different with her. And she said, do you think maybe I could apply to be one of the leaders next year? And I went, sure, Kat, that'd be great. So she graduated with her theater ed degree. She was a great student teacher. She probably could have had a job in almost any high school that had an opening if she had applied for it. But she kind of dragged her feet a little bit, and I couldn't figure out exactly why. And several months ago, she called me and said, I've decided what I want to do with my life. I'm going to work with special ed kids. And she just got accepted at the Tisch School of the Arts theater therapy program for special education students, which is what she'll be doing in the future.
What is it about this experience that changes people?
Well, I think at first people get involved because they look at this population and they go, oh, they're so sweet and so vulnerable and so needy, and we need to take care of them. And I think what they leave the experience with is, they have some challenges, these kids, but they introduced so many things about myself or ourselves that we didn't understand until we started to interact with them, that they taught us as much about what it is to be a complete human being as we taught them about being more confident and having more social skills and, you know, and a little bit about the arts. So we're better people because we're exposed to them.
That's Ball State Theater professor Michael Dane talking about the PRISM Project. They just held their 6th annual variety show featuring the incredible possibilities for special needs children in the performing arts. Ball State students are paired with the youngsters each spring, guided by the professors. This is National Autism Awareness Month. It seemed like a great way to mark the occasion. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.